following is a presentation of 65 Toss Power Trap Productions.
I think one of the great things about Priest Holmes is that it was so unexpected. He was like a meteorite.
Second and goal. You know that Holmes is going to get the ball. Here it is again behind Richardson. Outside. Puts it in. Touchdown. He walks right in. There's the NFL record for Priest Holmes.
The great running backs are always tough to put your hands on because they're the first one of themselves.
He was not one of these guys who was just hard to tackle. He was elusive in the truest sense of the word. Nobody ever seemed to get a clear, solid-on hit on him.
And I think that's what made him so unique, is that his patience of what he did.
A lot of times, runners generally don't have that type of patience, and he would just wait and create and wait for those linemen to establish those lanes.
He was cerebral. He was always thinking two, three steps ahead. It was like he was playing chess while other running backs are just playing checkers.
When an athlete retires, his time in professional sports can be a fleeting memory, or for some, a legacy that lasts for the ages. These legacies are built from two factors: performance on the field and style that is interpreted by the public. Few players can be defined by a hobby in the way that Priest Holmes can, by chess. Both on the field and off, he has been described as calculated, focused, and even clairvoyant. And upon arriving at the University of Texas in 1992, Priest would begin to display another defining characteristic of his career: resiliency.
Priest Holmes came out of San Antonio Marshall, just down the road from Texas, about 70 miles. I don't remember him being as highly sought after recruit as a lot of Texas running backs, you know, like a Cedric Benson, like a Ricky Williams, somebody like that. He was always kind of undersized.
I thought he was better than what some of the college people thought. I mean, you know, they were always a little skeptical of his speed. I understand that. But, you know, I tried to tell the college people, I said, hey, watch all the video. Watch all the video. Nobody catches him. I said, how fast do you want him to be? Nobody catches him.
Big cut back hole to the inside. Excellent vision. Knowing somebody's going for his feet, picking his legs up. And I know this, every college recruiter in this stadium just jumped up and down saying, oh, I hope he considers
that. When he got here, he was very much under the radar. And like a lot of people probably in Kansas City would think, he was very quiet. Shy, kind of introverted. There was not the hullabaloo over Anthony Holmes, as we knew him back then, that it came to be later.
And welcome to West Texas. We're glad to have you with us for North Carolina and Texas.
I don't know if either team really wanted to be there that much, and it was almost like, okay, let's play the bowl game, let's get it over with. And then, you know, Priest Holmes just goes crazy.
Priest Holmes into North Carolina territory. Holmes into the end zone. Touchdown, Texas. Number nine. What a run. Priest Holmes. Touchdown, Longhorn. The pitch. Holmes leaps. What a play. Touchdown, Texas. Priest Holmes gives Texas the lead.
And, you know, they're going nuts on TV and everything. I said, he can do that any day he wants to. You know, it's just the way he is. You guys just need to watch him more often. You know, he can do stuff like that.
When I think about Priest Holmes at the University of Texas, you know, he made his name, you know, in the 94 Sun Bowl against an Mack Brown North Carolina team. And then he capped it off in 1996 with that great Big 12 championship game performance against Nebraska.
Welcome to the Transworld Dome in St. Louis, where North meets South for the inaugural 1996 Big 12 championship.
Something special about that game that a lot of people didn't realize is that Coach Vermeil commentated that game.
My last year in broadcasting, then I was standing next to Coach Makovic talking to him about the game. And he said, you know, to me, he says, Ricky Williams is getting all the publicity, but the player of the game will probably be Priest Holmes. I said, oh, is that right?
Texas was playing a very heavily favored Nebraska team.
Yeah, that's going to be a game I'll probably never forget.
Something really special about that game, the first Big 12 championship.
Nebraska was a 3-touchdown favorite. You know, it was a foregone conclusion. You know, Nebraska's going to, you know, wipe the mat with Texas and then go to the national championship game if things fall their way.
They had just won a couple of national championships. There was no way in the world we should have hung with these guys.
Wistrom is back on the field. It's first down for the Hornets. They want to wait for him this time. And they bust one. Touchdown, Texas. Oh, baby. There'll be no catching the Priest this time.
And Texas just took it to him. You know, Priest Holmes was running crazy.
Priest lit it up. I think he had 137 yards rushing, 3 touchdowns, and he was unstoppable, and he was very impressive.
Priest Holmes, where are you? Priest has something to say to you guys.
Let's go, baby. December 1991, I was playing championship football, baby. We came in halftime 14-7 up on Odessa Premier. The only difference is we thought we had won the game at halftime. Same position, baby, we up. They shouldn't come back. Championship football, we got to go out there and play. I'm telling you, they done been here before. We here now, championship football, baby, we got to come to play. This second half, championship football, we playing.
And now it is a first and 10 outside the 10-yard line. Here's Holmes, cutback, touchdown, Longhorns. There it is. Texas has done it.
I think that's where his whole mental process was. He wanted to do it on the field. And corny thing, he did it his way, right? You know, nothing was given to this guy. You know, he had to earn everything that he got.
Chiefs Kingdom is brought to you by Hy-Vee, where there's a helpful smile in every aisle. And by Prime Sport. Get your tickets to the Chiefs tailgate party presented by Bud Light at primesport.com/Chiefs.
There's two kinds of free agent signings in the NFL. One is the big, glitzy, earth-changing free agent signing. You know, Reggie White goes to Green Bay. And then there's the rest of the signings, which is you just sense GMs are trying to fit players into spots. And when it was announced that Priest Holmes signed with the Chiefs, it was, I think, the reaction among Chiefs fans then was pretty much a collective yawn.
There was a phone call made to me, and Coach Romeo said that we're going to go either one or two ways. We're going to go one with a younger quarterback, younger running back out of the draft, or we're going to go ahead and trade up to get Trent Green, and then, of course, you would come with him. And so I got that call, and, of course, he says, guess who our quarterback's going to be? And when he said Trent Green, I knew I was going to be a Chief. So I was really excited about that.
I said, you know, I remember this guy, and I remember what Coach McAfee said. He said, this guy can play.
Well, I think the media obviously was more focused on Trent and getting our starting quarterback, but also heard that we had signed Priest Holmes, who had at least one really fine year as a running back, starting running back with Baltimore.
There's this undrafted free agent who's had some success at Baltimore, but had lost his job to Jamal Lewis, as you would expect an undrafted free agent would, and now he's coming to Kansas City. So what?
You know, I think there was a lot more fanfare about Trent Green. You know, this was a guy who had put up big numbers when he'd gotten the opportunity to get out on the field for the Rams, and this franchise needed a quarterback. And when they got him, that was all the conversation. It was really a footnote that Priest Holmes was going to be signed.
Be quick on the movement now. Good. Right there, Priest. There you go. That's it. Good timing on it. That's the way it should look. Good. Make you miss. Good job.
Adding those two new guys to our team, we weren't sure what they were going to bring to the table, knowing that Priest was coming in, but he had an injury. And then the year before that, having Trent go through the same issue, we weren't sure what we were getting with it with those two guys.
When he came to training camp, he was ready. And I remember that was one of the concerns he had. Will I get a chance to be that every down player running back? Because I think and I know I can do it.
We didn't really know how we were going to utilize Priest. I think there was the anticipation or the hope that we could do some of the same things with Priest that we did with Marshall Faulk over in St. Louis with the offense.
I think the expectation was that the fans and the people who fill up the seats, and they just wanted points. They wanted action. They wanted offense of some kind. They really hadn't gotten much of that.
There was a feeling that this organization, which had really been defensive-minded for a long time and had really struggled to put a dynamic offense on the field, was going to come out of the dark ages. But how fast they were going to do it and how good it was going to be, I think, was still a long way off in fans' minds.
Even the guys that were on our roster at that time knew what we were getting when we signed Freese. They thought that, oh, he's just the running back's going to come through the league, play about 2 or 3 years, and then he's out. So I don't think anyone really knew that he was going to break onto the scene like he did.
I had known of Freese, but I don't think any of us knew that he was capable of doing the great things that he did here in Kansas City.
Nobody. And I think if you were to hook up Carl Peterson to a polygraph machine, he would not say that he thought Priest Holmes was going to do what he did. It's a great signing, but I don't think anybody had any sense of what Priest Holmes was about to unleash.
A lot of people don't remember when Priest first got here. He was, I'm not going to say he was struggling, but he really wasn't, picking up on the offense very well and really wasn't clicking into the scheme.
Coming into the team, the first 2 weeks were a little hard for me to even swallow, because initially I came in thinking, okay, these guys are, trading up to get me to come in. I'm a free agent. But I got here, and I believe I had, in 2 games, no more than like 13 carries. It was like 6 carries for the first game, 7 carries for the second game. My first pass in the NFL, it was an angle route for 5 yards, and you come across where the linebacker is, and I dropped the freaking ball. So, of course, that didn't make it any better. But for 13 carries, my feelings were a little bit hurt, of course.
I think they kind of looked at the situation. They were going to do a running back by committee deal. He had no opportunity in the first 2 games to get anything done. So obviously the coaching staff wasn't sold that this guy was going to be the guy. But he changed that in the 3rd game of the season, that's for sure.
The first time you went, okay, this guy can be good, was the game in Washington.
For Dick Vermeil, it is a building process. He's got something that he's working with right now. And the Chiefs offensive players believe this might be the week that they finally break out and start doing things.
We were in Washington. We were trying to get our first win. And, Priest and I are going back and forth with carries. And
I like the combination, Tony Richardson and Priest Holmes. This is a good power running, quick hitting combination that appears to work for him.
Until today, it really hadn't worked for me.
And all of a sudden, he just starts taking off.
And we explode.
Green. Again, good time. Finding Holmes. Running down the side. Breaks a tackle. Appears. Got a inside. And it's a touchdown.
This cat comes out of nowhere, and I'm like, who is this kid?
Up the middle, it goes to Holmes. Huge push and drives into the end zone.
What a run. I said, I'd love to see this guy turn him loose and see what he can do. We just saw it.
We watched Priest just sort of elevate his game, and once he started getting, hey, I can do this, or we'll do this, and we'll do that, that's when you knew he arrived.
First and 10 handoff. Here comes Holmes, a block ahead, followed by Donnie Willis. He's going to go in.
You see, flashes of Emmitt Smith. You see flashes of guys like Barry Sanders, and that's, rare to even put running backs in that category. But Priest has something special. For me personally, that's when I kind of knew that this isn't a normal running back. He has a gift.
Sensational run by Priest Holmes.
He showed he was a big play waiting to happen on every handoff, whether it was catching the ball in the flat on a screen, whether it was just a handoff between the tackles outside, you just never knew what play could go for big yardage. And he started doing that against the Redskins.
Priest Holmes is back in business. He has a receiving touchdown, 2 rushing touchdowns, and the Chiefs are shredding the Redskin defense.
Priest Holmes established the fact that this offense was going to run through him.
And then after that happened, Tony Richens stepped up and he says, you know what? You know, I know that they've kind of been, you know, allowing me to run the ball because I was a running back last year, but I really believe in you. He says, you know what? In order for us to have some success, I'm going to make the decision. I'm going to be your fullback. I want you to be our running back. I'm going to block for you, and I'm going to let the coaches know, you know, how I feel about this. And for a guy that had the opportunity to still play as our starting running back, because he did the year before I got there, unselfish.
A guy like Priest, free agent draft pick, you just sensed that he had something to prove at all times.
He was playing with a chip on his shoulder. You could tell. You could tell the way he went about practice, and you can tell just his demeanor and everything. He was playing with a bit of a chip on his shoulder.
He was an easy guy to get behind and like, and he definitely became the engine of that offense.
We knew that at that point that it was going to be tough to stop us in any way, and our mental makeup changed at that game of basically we could do anything we wanted to and score as many points as we wanted to against any team.
And you see the potential of our offense both in our quarterback and our running back. But that really encouraged me and encouraged everybody. Hey, we are on the right track. We just be patient. Don't panic. Keep doing what we're doing and try to do it better. That eventually we're going to be a good football team.
Really, we started seeing some sparks about potentially what this offense could be and what Priest could be as a running back and what he brought to the table. Things started gelling and coming together, and that was, you know, that was good to see.
Well, as I sit here and talk about it, I get excited because it was so fun to watch these guys play.
Week 3 game in Washington would prove to be the genesis of offensive dominance that defined the Chiefs of the early 2000s. And over the course of the season, Priest would establish himself as the nucleus of that offense.
Here's a handoff to Priest Holmes around the side.
And again, some razzle-dazzle.
Holmes with a stutter-step move. The shifty and elusive Priest Holmes.
All the way across the field. Look out. Holmes 35-30. Break the tackle. Gets a downfield block.
And here he goes. Breaking the tackle at the 5. And he's into the end zone.
Left side has a hole. 25-20 into the secondary. Angles left hand. 5. Touchdown, Kansas City.
For me, it was really the Pittsburgh game where he broke out and had 180 yards against a, you know, a salty Steeler defense.
And then, like 3 or 4 weeks later, I think he gained 181 yards against San Diego, and it was his third career game that season.
Yeah, I think at that point it became clear, look, this guy and this team and this offensive line and this offense can run the ball. I think you started to realize this is where this offense has to go, and I think it was there that things began to shift within the organization, and I think that's when the fans started to go, okay, this guy's for real.
And you started sensing, we might really have something here.
Chiefs Kingdom is brought to you by Hy-Vee, where there's a helpful smile in every aisle. And by Prime Sport. Get your tickets to the Chiefs tailgate party presented by Bud Light at primesport.com/Chiefs. The Chiefs Kingdom is a symphony of moments, images, connections, and each snapshot tells a story and her adventure. Priest Holmes let on-field performances do the talking for him throughout his entire career. And that quiet disposition was established at an early age.
The first day of practice, his freshman year, we're out there, and I walk out there, and I look around, and I figured out real quick he wasn't there. I mean, you know, you got a guy that's as good as he is, and you start looking around at practice, and you don't see this one guy stand out. So he's just sitting on top of his bicycle, hanging on to the chain link fence, and he's sitting there and he's watching practice. And I walked over to him and I said, "You Priest Holmes?" And he went. I said, "You gonna play football?" I said, "Well, we're working out. You need to start working out with us. Are you ready to work out?" I mean, that was it. And I said, "Well, okay." I said, "Well, won't you go with Coach So-and-so? We'll take you in, get your equipment, give you a locker and all that, and you'll be ready for the next practice." So he's pretty quiet.
On the next Chiefs Kingdom.
Suddenly, under this offense, with Priest Holmes as the centerpiece, it was almost as though the Chiefs could score at will.
Everybody knew what was coming, and they just couldn't stop it.
We were going to score. Nobody could stop us.
What a day by just a magnificent football player.
65 toss power trap.